If you know what Paul is talking about there, say amen. Amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. Paul here, writing to the church at Thessalonica, told them that he wanted to try to come to them. But there's a problem. Amen. Notice what he says down there in verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. If you remember the account in Acts, Paul was run out of town very quickly after he gave the gospel. And he tried to get back to Thessalonica, but they wouldn't let him come back in town. And this is what he says here in verse number 18. Read that with me. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Amen. Every time you try to do something for God, Satan is going to rear his ugly head and try to put up the roadblock or the sign and say, no, you're not going to do anything for God. Amen. And if you're not doing anything for God, guess who you're doing something for? Satan. Amen. And so he tries to thwart you and I at every turn. Father, help us now as we look at some of these parallels from the Old Testament and the New Testament to identify what's going on here. And Lord, to glean a blessing. And Lord, before we leave tonight, may we truly, Lord, see something that can change our life and change our hearts, our perspective, just to stir us up a little bit more. We may leave here differently than we came in, a little bit more Christ-like, like the Lord Jesus Christ and what we think, say, and do, and be reminded, Lord, that Satan is still trying to hinder the believer. We thank you so much for your goodness and your glory work in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Paul planned to come back to Thessalonica several times. He says Satan hindered them. How could Satan have hindered them from coming back to Thessalonica? What maybe did he do to keep Paul from coming? And if you look at what he does to hinder us from coming, sometimes you'll probably come up with some good ideas. Yes? Could make him sick, could make him ill. Amen? Yes? What's that? Put people in the way. Amen? And to slow him down, possibly. Yes? Discourage him. Maybe, say, if you come back, remember that church that you got? We're going to go over there and ransack all their houses. Amen? You never know, but Paul says here, look, I came there. The people stirred up against him. They kicked him out. Paul said, I tried to come back, but I couldn't because Satan hindered us. But notice what he says in verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? The one thing Satan couldn't do, even though he hindered him, he couldn't take them from the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul said, my goal was to come and to help you guys out, to give you some encouragement, to get you set solidly on your newfound faith. He said, but Satan can't take you away from the presence of the Lord. Amen. That's something that we have. We can present you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he can't take that away. He says, for ye are our joy, our glory and joy. So either way it goes, he says, if I can come to you, amen. If I can't come to you because Satan, you're saved. You're saved. And by the way, if you're saved, say amen. It's just good to be saved. Satan can hinder us in a lot of ways, but he cannot hinder our salvation. He can't take that away from us. He can't unsave us. He cannot get us lost. Amen. I am so glad. We tried to find the Wendy's at the in Phoenix Airport yesterday. We went around in circles. GPS kept saying, go around, go around, go around. And I thought, no, wait a minute. We're going around too many times. You're trying to get me lost, amen. So we left hungry. We didn't eat any Wendy's, amen. But we picked that up, and then we went to Wendy's, amen. Satan will try to get you lost. He'll try to get you thwarted, but he cannot take away your salvation, and to God be the glory. Satan can do a lot of things. One thing he can't do is that. Paul said, look, I tried to come there, but Satan hindered us from coming to you. But he says, you're still going to be in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, and no one can take that away. Amen. And I tell you what, that is very, very encouraging. So we stopped at number five with containment. And we're starting with capability. And these are all in your outline, types of the Christian life. These are some parallels as to things that we can expect in the New Testament. Notice six, it says capability. Opening / crossing the Red Sea equals a type of hindrances removed by God. What are some hindrances that God can remove for the Christian? What are some hindrances he can remove? I'll tell you one I know he can remove. You get somebody that's trying to thwart the gospel from witnessing, God can remove those people. I've had plenty of people like that removed right out of the way. I said, Lord, every time I try to witness this person comes by, can you just do something with them? All right, you're fired. Now, I don't want to get them fired, amen, but relocate them to someplace else, amen. Sometimes they just don't come around, but God has a way of removing hindrances, amen. Rose, yeah, Janet? Fight our battles for us. He can remove those hindrances, amen.
And she,
amen. And think about this too. We're actually talking about something miraculous. Could Israel open the Red Sea?
No.
Could they cross across it and close it back? The only thing they could do was walk. Hope they kept their shoes on. Amen. The only thing they could do was walk across there. God opened that thing up. They went in there. But guess who started coming back after them?
Pharaoh
said, we can do that too. And we got horses and chariots and we'll catch you halfway through there. And what did God do miraculously after miraculously opened that up? But he did something before that. That's right. The cloud, the pillar of fire went down there and stood in between them and gave them a chance to get to the other side. Took their wheels, slap off the carts and chariots. Amen. And so they was driving with no wheels. Imagine that, driving with no wheels. Can you imagine driving your car with no wheels? I just saw a couple days ago, there was a car, the wheel had come off of it, and it was right in the middle of the street. And I thought, wow, you can't drive without wheels. Amen. And so God took their wheels off. They were still trying to drive them. And so he put that cloud there and the fire there. And they were mystified. And if you saw the Cecil B. DeMille's movie, that guy said, we can't fight against this power. He said, we need to turn back now. Brenner say? Better to die like champs or what did he say? He said something funny. Live in shame or something like that. Better to die like kings, live in shame. He'd rather die than turn around, amen. And all the people probably saying, look, I don't share your philosophy with that thing here. But on they went, and guess what? Miraculously, what did God do? Wow, close that thing right back on all of them and drown every last one of them. Glory to God. That is amazing. That's amazing. So when you look at this capability, God has the capability to open any Red Sea that stands in your way and my way. If there's a hindrance there, God can remove it if that be his will. Now, he doesn't always do it, but he can. Let me show you one parallel that I saw. Peter came up with an objection here in Matthew chapter number 17. And how many of y'all remember the account where everybody's paying their taxes? And they asked Peter about paying taxes. And Peter went to Jesus. And Peter said, they asked about paying these taxes. By the way, when it comes down to it, Jesus came up with the solution to this hindrance. Matthew 17. And notice verse number 24. Now, by the way, everybody was assessed this temple tax here that they were supposed to be paying. And Peter's going to try and get Jesus to pay it as well. Now, talk to me here. Notice what it says here. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter. So the ones that should be getting the money, they see Peter. Hey, Peter, you and Jesus walking around. Did y'all pay your taxes? And what is Peter going to say? Man, we stopped working 3.5 years ago when Jesus called us. We don't have a job. I left that business. I'm supposed to be fishers of men. Are you saved, by the way? I'm sure he didn't say that. Amen. I'm sure he didn't say that. What is the account? He go back and tell Jesus. Notice what he says. He says, doth not your master pay tribute? He said, doesn't Jesus pay tribute? Isn't he going to keep the law and be an upstanding citizen? And he saith, yes. Peter answered before he went to Jesus. And yes. Now, why do you think Peter said yes so quick? He didn't know what else to say. Why do you think he said yes so quick? Why do you think he said yes? he could walk away from. To say no would incriminate who? Jesus. Because if he says no, he's supposed to be the Son of God. He's supposed to be and he's not paying. What some Son of God he is. Some Son of God he is. So he said yes. Peter said yes, he does. Now, Peter doesn't know how he's going to do it. If he can feed 5,000, he can pay these taxes. If he can walk on water, he can feed these taxes. I'm sure Peter probably saw himself drowning and said, if he can rescue me out of that water and pull me up on some solid ground, he can pay these taxes. So Peter came back and said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? So in other words, he's saying, does the king's house have to pay taxes? By the way, does the king's house have to pay taxes? No. They're royalty. They don't have to pay. They're living off of your taxes. Good to be king. Amen. he said, who of their own children or strangers? Who do they take the taxes from? The king doesn't go to his son and say, all right, pay it up. All right. I don't go to Gregory and say, Gregory, give me the taxes. I don't go to Joshua and say, give me the taxes. Faith, give me the taxes. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Somebody asked them of me. Amen. Peter saith unto him, of strangers. He said, the kings take it of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Now, what is he alluding to? Who's royalty? Jesus. So if anything, they should be paying taxes. To who? To him. He said, then are the children free. But I like what Jesus said. Notwithstanding, we don't want to make a fuss around here. They don't really understand that I am the King of Kings, Lord. They don't get that yet. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, because they would be offended if Peter came back and said, no, he doesn't pay taxes. He doesn't have to. He's Jesus. He's God. You got a hard time getting that by these tax collectors. Lest we offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. So Jesus said, go down there, catch a fish in the fish's mouth. There's going to be some money. Go give that to them for you and for me. We don't want to offend them. So he took this seemingly hindrance that could have been there and removed it miraculously. God can do that to you and I. Something that's in your way from doing what God would have you do, God can remove that, amen, if it's his will, amen. By the way, this was his will, and so he miraculously opened this fish's mouth, amen. I like 1 Corinthians 10:13. Who knows that one? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. What happened? There's a situation comes up that seems like it might be a hindrance. God's going to make a way for you. He told Israel in Isaiah that, hey, look, I can make a way in the wilderness. I can do that. Amen. I can do it. Why? That's the God of removing hindrances. So when you look at 6 capability, God is capable of opening your Red Sea and removing hindrances that you may have in your way to fulfill his will. How do you think Peter felt after catching that fish? Probably felt like going back in the fishing business, didn't he? Man, that one had a coin in his mouth. Man, let's go catch a few more. And get a couple more from the fish. Amen. So number 6 is capability. God has capability to do what he needs to do in your life, just like he did for Israel. Notice number 7, consistency. Consistency, the pillar of cloud and fire equals a type of God's presence with us. For this one, go back to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. We don't often think of this, but Israel had the cloud and the fire as God's presence for how many years? 40 years. When they woke up, guess what they saw? The presence of God. When they went to bed at night, what did they see glowing over on the side? Every day. If you saw the presence of God glowing every day and the cloud every day and the fire every night, don't you think that should give you some confidence? You would think, amen. Exodus 40, notice verse 34. And notice what he says down there. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. And by the way, if the cloud moved, guess what they had to do? They had to move. If the cloud stayed, guess what they did? They stayed. So if they saw the cloud move, they know it's time to pack up. It's time to go. If the cloud stayed, and guess what? The cloud led them in a direction. It's not like the clouds that we see that's just kind of up there, just kind of going. The cloud went right in front of them, and they just followed the cloud wherever God said to go. And at night, it was fire. Now, why a cloud? To protect them from the sun. It's hot in the desert. Why fire at night? It gets cold in the desert. Isn't that amazing? God gives the cloud of protection, because I tell you, on a hot day, it's good to have a cloud every now and again. Amen? And then at night, when it gets cold, you get the fire. But guess what? What else does the fire do? Light. Desert animals get afraid when they see light, and especially when they see people with that light. Now, if it's in the dark, they'll bite you. They're like, you can't see me, but I can see you. Wah! It bites you. But if it's light, hey, no, you can get them then. Notice verse 38. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night in the sight of how many? All the house of Israel throughout how long? All their journeys, 40 years, they had the cloud, the pillar, and the pillar of fire for 40 years. There was no excuse for them not to believe and trust God. No excuse at all. So when you look at number 7, consistency, the pillar of cloud and fire is a type of God's presence with us. Well, wait a minute. Let's come back over to the New Testament and find the parallel for you and I. What did Jesus say? Jesus said he was going to leave his presence with us as well. Matthew 28. We have the marching orders for the church. And we're supposed to go where? Go ye into all the world. Amen. Go ye therefore teach all nations, baptize them in the name of Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am where? I am with you. How long? All way until the end of the world, amen, or until the end of the age. There's coming a period when the age is going to end. We're in the church age right now. That's what that word means there, the age. And when the church age ends and the rapture happens, we won't need that because we're going to see him face to face. Amen. And we will have the Spirit's presence will be there, but we won't need the Spirit indwelling us because we'll have our spiritual bodies. Hallelujah. But he says, I am with you always until the end of the age. And when that happens, you're going to see me because you're going to be like me. Amen. The Bible says we'll see him like he is. Amen. Because we'll be like him. And so we have that same indwelling presence that they had physically outward. We have it inward, and the Spirit of God responds by the Word of God. And he gives us that assurance. And so we don't have to fret like Israel and say, well, God, where are you? Because we know where he's at. Amen. Give you the parallel, Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. And he says to let your conversation be without what? Covetousness, and be content with what? Such things as you have. Why? For he has said, I will what? Never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. Let's read that one there. So we've got that same assurance. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. In other words, you know, don't want what everybody has, and be content with such things as you have. Why? For he has said, I will what? Never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. God says, I'm not going to leave you. And it gets better. So that we may boldly say, who is my helper? The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I don't have to fear. How should I fear? Jesus is near. Amen. And so praise God for the parallel that we can find there in the consistency, the same things that they had, the same things that we have by the Spirit of God when it comes to this. And so when you look at Israel, you say, well, man, they were spoiled. They had a cloud there they could see every day, and they had a pillar of fire. Man, I wish I had that. We got something better. We had the inward dwelling of the Spirit of God, and he goes with us wherever we go. There's not a place that we go where the Spirit of God does not go. And he guides us and directs us and he leads us, amen. So we have that same capability, amen. Come down to capability, consistency, number 8, chorus, song of Moses and Miriam. That's in chapter 15, so we're not going to read that, Exodus 15. But notice what it says there in chorus. Song of Moses and Miriam equals a type of praise to God for spiritual victories. How many of y'all like to sing? Shower singers, or just singing under your breath, or singing to yourself. You don't want to be heard publicly because you don't sound good, amen. But you like singing, amen. I don't know if anybody doesn't like good music. Whether it's your own music or listening to good music, everybody likes some type of music, amen. The blessing is when we have something good happening in our life, we should give God the glory and give him the praise. We should praise him. You say, well, I can't sing. Praise him anyway. Let everything that hath breath do what? Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. What does it say? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God is not interested so much in you being on key as he is interested in your praising him. Amen. Hey, you know, my son, when his voice was changing and Joshua's voice was changing, you know, if they told me, good job, daddy, if their voice went up, I could care less how their voice sounded. I was interested in what they were saying to me. Good job, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Man, that means something to me. But they would say, good job, Daddy. Good job, Daddy. Good job. I don't care if they're on tune. I just want to hear what they got to say. Amen. So the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, if they sing on tune, that just makes it better. Amen. But when it comes down here, the song of Moses and Miriam equals a type of praise to God for spiritual victory. So go over to Ephesians 5 and verse 19 real quick. Ephesians 5:19, because the same way that Moses and Miriam began to sing and lead Israel in singing, we too should be singing. Amen. How many of y'all got your favorite song or favorite hymn that you like? Amen. I got mine. Singing, I go a long life road. Jesus has lifted my load. Amen. Notice what he says in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody, notice this, in your heart to the Lord. You don't have to sing out loud. Just praise God in your heart. Now, wait a minute. You got to know how good God is before you can praise him. And you got to know that he's done something good for you. There's a reason why we come and we do praises on Sunday night, or at Sunday night and Wednesday and Sunday. There's a reason. We want to give God the glory. We want to praise him, and we want everybody else to hear how good he is and what he's done. So that you can praise him too. Amen. Notice what it says down there, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for how many things? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Now you hurt. Now you hurt. Well, I don't know how having a flat is, you know, I can praise God for that. Praise God you didn't have 4 flats. Praise God you had tires to get a flat. Some people don't even have a car. Some folks don't even have a license. Amen. Exactly. Amen. There's always the unseen of God that we don't know. And so God says, give me glory and give me praise anyway, because you don't know what I'm doing. And we don't. He's an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God that does great things. Notice what he says down there, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So God wants us to praise him with some singing and some making some melodies in our hearts, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Amen. Colossians has the parallel. Go over there real quick. Colossians 3:16. Colossians got the parallel to this. So as Moses and Miriam sang, you and I can do the same thing. Colossians 3 and verse number 16. Notice what it says down there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, what? And hymns and what? Spiritual songs, singing with grace, where? In your hearts to the Lord. So we can praise God. Now, does it have to be something as miraculous as what happened as the crossing of the Red Sea? No. It can just be, I got home safe tonight. There are a lot of people that don't get home safe at night. On the way back from the airport last night, we saw cops after cops after cops after cops. Now, some of them might have been accidents. Some of them may not have been accidents. Some of those folks might not have gone home. They might have gone to jail, depending on what they had in their cars. Amen. But we can just praise God that we got home safely at night. Amen. Hey, folks, y'all know Devin and Charmaine? Charmaine's dad never got home one night because a drunk driver hit him. And we take it for granted getting home. A drunk driver ran into him and killed him on the spot. And we get home and sometimes we don't even thank God that we got home safe. That's a praise every night that you can give. When you wake up in the morning, I know you don't want to go to work, amen, but you can still praise God that he woke you up. And you can thank God that he gave you a job. It may not be the best job, may not be the job you like, but it's money, food on the table, amen. So he says down there, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, giving praise, giving thanks to God for what he has done, just like they gave their song of praise for what they did. Now, here's something tough for you here. Go to Acts chapter 16. This is tough. You got to be really spiritual to do this. How many of y'all spiritual? You got to be really spiritual to do this. Acts 16. We're talking about the song of Moses. When did Moses and Aaron and Miriam praised God before they came out or after they came out? Exodus. When did Moses and Miriam praise God? Before they came out or afterwards? After they came out of Egypt or before they came out of Egypt? After. If they were really spiritual, they would have been praising God when they were in there already, saying, God's going to do this. God's going to do this. We're going to be free. Amen. It's coming. It's coming. They didn't do that. Paul here is in prison, and guess what Paul is doing? He's praising God before the victory. Acts 16, notice verse number 25. He got through in jail for preaching the gospel. And notice what it says down there. Go up a little bit. Verse 23, because it gets worse. And when they had many stripes laid upon them, So what does that mean? They got beat. So they got beat first, they cast them in the prison. So now they got cast in the prison second, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. So that's worse. They got down to the lowest of the lowest of the lowest places and made their feet fast in the stocks. If it wasn't bad enough, they put them in the stocks. That means their feet were out here shackled and their hands were shackled like that. So they was like this. So you can't scratch your nose. If a bug is crawling on your toes, I'm sure there's a bunch of toads and tadpoles and scorpions and whatnots in there. They can't do anything, but the spider's coming down here. Ain't nothing they can do but say, then they'll blow it out and it'll come right back on their nose. Amen. So there's nothing that they could do. Their feet are in the stocks. And what are they going to do? Praise God. Now, I'm not that spiritual. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not that spiritual. I wish I was. would to God I was. But he says down there, verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Amen. They praised God before the victory. Wow. Man, I wish I had that kind of faith. I mean, I get in the pickle. I'm like, Lord, what are you going to do? I know you're going to do something, but I'm scared right now. What are you going to do? And then when he gets done, yeah, I knew you was going to do it, God. Yeah. And I did. I just didn't know how. It scared me to find out how he's going to do it. He might do it in a way I don't like. But they were all freed. So Paul, they did the praising beforehand, folks. That's when you know you're walking in your shoes to the fullest. Amen. Praising God before the victory happens. You see something happening in your life and what's going on, and you say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm going to praise you just the same. And man, I tell you what, the preface to that is notice what they did before they sang in verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas did what? Prayed. Somebody had to have the idea and say, we need to pray about this. We need to pray about this. I'm sure Paul looked at Silas. Silas looked at Paul and said, we're in a pickle, aren't we? Yeah, we are. We just tried to give the gospel out here and help some people out. And look at us now. How you feel? Beat. How you feel? Beat. What are we going to do about that? How about let's pray and get God's hand on this? Man. Man, they're looking at each other, probably bloody and whatnots. And they start singing. An earthquake happens. Is this a preacher? Amen. 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 I mean, they got beat. They got cast in prison. And then in the prison of prisons, can't scratch my nose. And they prayed and sang. That's a formula. That's a recipe that we need to get a hold of. Amen. I'll tell you, I know I don't pray and praise enough in that order like I need to. I do some praising. Amen. But it's the praying part that I got to get caught up, amen, with that. Because when they did that, God blessed. And this is before the victory. Before the victory. What was Miriam and Moses? After the victory. When do we like to praise God and party? After. But sometimes God wants us to do it before the victory. Amen. So that we can see what he's doing. Amen. We're going to start with that one, and we'll pick it up next week with the compromise, the mixed multitude. How many of y'all know something about the mixed multitude? Amen. The mixed multitude is a people group that will be in every congregation, and we'll see that next week. Amen. But for the meantime, just think about the capability, the opening and crossing of the Red Sea. Those are types of hindrances removed by God. God can remove our hindrances. Will Satan try to hinder us? Yes. But is God greater than Satan? Yes. And he will make a way to remove the hindrances if we go to him in faith and saying, Lord, tell me what to do. I've got a hindrance here. By the way, most hindrances for the Christian come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. And then again on soul winning. That's when many of your hindrances will come. There's no hindrances on Monday, hardly spiritually speaking, Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday. But you come Wednesday, and you come Sunday, and you come Sunday night. Boy, the devil will have an all-out onslaught on your physical body. And he will give you 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't go back to church. That's a hindrance. We got to go to God and say, God, remove that hindrance. I don't want this to be a hindrance. I know sometimes we get sick, and sometimes we can't be here. I understand that. But when it's a hindrance, we've got to go to God and say, God, remove that hindrance and help me to do what I need to do. Capability, he's got that. Consistency, like the pillar of cloud and the fire, God's presence is always with us. Then the chorus song of Moses and Miriam, those are types of praises to God for spiritual victories. And you and I can sing to the Lord even when it seems like we've got nothing to sing about. By the way, if we feel like we don't have anything to sing about, what do we know we can sing about? Our salvation, the song of the redeemed. I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm saved. And I've got nothing to sing about, I think. I can always sing about, I'm glad I'm saved. That's something we'll never lose. We'll never lose that. Amen. Times may get tough, but we'll never lose our salvation. Praise God and glory to God for his goodness and his grace. Father, thank you for seeing some parallels in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Lord, thank you for what you did in Israel's life and how we have a greater and a more powerful way by the Holy Spirit's power and presence in our life. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving to us the Spirit of God and the Spirit of grace. Lord, work in us and work through us, Lord, as we send up prayer requests for our missionaries. Lord, I pray that you might minister through the prayers that we send up to the needs that they have. They may continue to be effective. Help us to continue holding up the hands of our missionaries while they're out on the field, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord, and I minister through our prayers. And Lord, grant the blessings needed to our missionaries. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.